Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast, powered by Consultant Connect. For the month of April, all our interviews with economic developers and site consultants will be solely focused on their reaction and response to the current coronavirus pandemic. We will be releasing these on a daily basis, and we hope you find value in each episode as we all fight for our communities. Today, Carla Soans talks with Kenny McDonald, who is the chairman of the IEDC board, as well as the president and CEO of One Columbus. Let's listen in.
Welcome, everyone, to America's Jobs Team. I'm Carla Soans, and here for another one of our mini-series interviews with Kenny McDonald on the COVID-19 crisis that's impacting regions and communities all across our great nation and beyond. And I'm very excited to have Kenny here, who comes to us from One Columbus, formerly Columbus 2020, and then also is the president of IEDC. So I'm excited. Thank you, Kenny. I know you're super busy. Thank you for taking time to join us on the podcast and just share your insights with our listening audience.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So Kenny, we're just going to dive right in. I know in Columbus, I had the opportunity in early March to spend some time with you and your team in Columbus. In my how things have changed, I feel like we dove deep into a lot of things about how you were doing business and how your team was doing. And it was just a really amazing time for our team to learn from your team. But we very briefly covered the potential of what the coronavirus could do to economic development. And I don't think in early March we were even beginning to think about what it has done now. Like, it was not on our radar. How has it been in Columbus? What have you seen as the impact in the region there in Columbus?
Well, let me first say, going back to your comments, if anyone could have predicted the level of the traumatic and almost violent fall of our local economies across the country, I'd like to meet them, because it sure was not on our radar screen or in our realm of possibilities, right? And there's a few ways that we're thinking about this in Ohio. One is that there's a number of things that were true before the crisis that are probably still true today, that technology and automation and globalization and inequality are real issues in economic development in our communities. And I think if anything, the crisis has probably made those issues more extreme or surfaced them in a greater way and brought them to our attention in almost an unimaginable way, but all those things are still true. And then as we go through this, I think we're all starting to imagine and do assessments on what we think that future is going to look like on the other side of the public health crisis, and as we restore and rebuild our economies, which industries will forever be changed, which will be changed on a temporary basis, and what are going to be the safe harbors, the things that we can sort of cling to rebuild from as anchor institutions and industries.
Yeah, when you think about that crystal ball, I know your team has focused a lot of time and effort on research and really understanding the companies in your region and beyond, so that you're attracting the right companies. Do you have any insights on when you think about, those companies that will be the anchors versus those that may be forever changed? Does your team have any insight on what you think? I know obviously everything is preliminary and changing day by day, but if you had to give us your kind of thoughts of right now, what could potentially change? What are you thinking?
Well, Columbus, Ohio is a major retail headquarters city. Abercrombie, DSW, Ascena, Victoria's Secret, Wendy's, all these food and apparel companies that are headquartered here. And, what you can see in the DTC brands and things like that, that you're probably going to have permanent change. Or perhaps it was just a almost unbelievable acceleration of the change that was predicted to happen over the next 5 or 10 years has happened in about 10 days, with e-commerce not just being a growth part of the business and how you execute that and how you do your omni channels and things like that, but it might be the only part of the business that's functioning right now, right? And being that extended to food in our grocery store chains and all of these other things that we're having delivered to our homes, even prescription drugs and things like that that are being delivered directly to our homes. We may have to rely on that for a while. And I suppose some of that's going to stick. So when we think about retailing in a general sense, and we marry that with e-com, I think we're going to see some permanent changes there. Obviously, finance and insurance is going through some accelerated change. The thing I think of when I think of those big industries, we're the home of Nationwide Insurance, a big JP Morgan Chase operation with over 20,000 people. As they've sent their workforces home to work from home, you know, perhaps their real estate needs are going to be reexamined as they move back, or as some of those workers move back over a period of time. And that'll have the impact on our real estate industry, or corporate real estate industry, workplace strategy teams around the world as that happens all over the globe. One way I'm thinking about this may have nothing to do with your question is, if you're in a local metropolitan market, you know, you've had to get in a foxhole with the people that are in your community, the companies and the industries that are present in your community, whoever they are. Mm-hmm. And I've had conversations with people in Seattle and all over the place. It's a really interesting conversation because they're Microsoft and Amazon and Nordstrom, and in Columbus, Ohio, that's Battelle Memorial Institute, which is a major defense contractor, runs national labs, doing a number of innovative things to help the globe, help our healthcare facilities. Cardinal Health is our largest company. They run about 10% of the PPE supply chain in the world, and they've been very interesting to have on our team as we go through this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've never thought about this is our team that we go to war with every day if we have to, and we're going through right now. And I'm really proud that those companies are more than living up to their bargain for their associates, their community, as economic development partners.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I like a lot of the things that you pointed out. I mean, I really appreciate your thoughts on the retail industry, because we all knew that retail was undergoing a rapid change. But hearing you put it into the days of, like, basically in 10 days, what we thought was going to happen over a period of, you know, years, just kind of came crashing to a 10-day rapid change. And then even hearing about, like, you know, going to war with those companies, I think that really puts into perspective the importance of having good relationships with the companies that are doing business in your community, and a really good testament to why economic development is so important, because there's not everybody doesn't have those connections, but good economic developers do.
Well, I think one thing about any crisis, but this is, again, a pretty extraordinary one, is every strength that you have, you know, will be stress test, will be a source of safety as you go through a crisis. And every weakness you had as a region will be surfaced and exploited as well. So mm-hmm. I'm proud that our region was tight-knit, and that we were used to talking to each other. We had a local partnership with our cities and our counties and our businesses, and it's proving to be extraordinarily valuable as we go through, and we can trust each other to pass along information and things like that. If we didn't have that, I would be a lot, you know, we would have to create it from the ground up during a crisis, not an optimal situation. I think it's true that you got to have strong organizations with relationships with your board, with your elected leaders. And that's proving to be really valuable for us right now as well. Again, not everything's perfect. And so those weaknesses we had are also being surfaced and exploited a little bit. So some industries are maybe a little bit behind because they didn't have a strong relationship with the elected leaders and things like that. So it'll be interesting. It's forcing us all to fix those problems. And I am praying for the day that we're looking back on this and talking about lessons learned, as opposed to right now, as we're going through the storm, perhaps even the eye of the storm, the next few weeks, trying to pontificate about, you know, what's to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. I look forward to the days where we're like, you know what, we should take that lesson that we've learned and make sure that we're prepared for the next time that something like this happens, or, you know, how did we grow and get better because of this? Because right now it just feels like, and I'm sure your team feels the same way. I mean, we've here in Southwest Michigan, it doesn't feel like we've ever worked harder.
Yeah, true.
And you're just kind of going day by day, trying to uncover and solve the problems that day has brought. So let's talk a little bit about your team. How have you organizationally had to shift in order to kind of deploy your resources and your team to help serve Columbus right now? And what things have changed for your team?
I'm thankful that a big focus of our regional organization was outreach to local companies. And we always considered our first priority to make sure that our local companies were competitive as they could be. We got the assistance directly to them. I'm glad that we're not purely a marketing organization and do only external things. We did some of that as well, obviously. But we reorganized our work streams almost immediately to focus almost solely on outreach to companies. And a second piece of that is outreach to communities. To get their perspective, but also to help them equip them with resources to help them do their jobs as, there's an onslaught of requests from businesses and connect through the SBA and figure out what was essential and not essential operations, work with health commissioners across our counties and build communication lines between us and elected officials, federal, state, and local.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know a lot of communities are doing that same thing. Has a lot of people on your team had to kind of shift into more of a, case manager doesn't seem like the right word, but kind of a, they may have been focused in one area and now are directly focused on, more case management outreach, and that was a non-traditional role for them? Or did you have your team pretty much set up that way to begin with?
Well, we did. What's interesting is that the willingness of companies to share information about their operations is, when it was ratcheted up a lot. So people that we would reach out to and have a fairly normal outreach, conversation with, has now, we've learned a lot more about our businesses, even though we were already in touch with them. Like we've learned when their loans are due and who their banks are and all kinds of things as we went through this process. And we're going to be the better for it. We're going to know more about those companies and know what their strengths are and their weaknesses are and how we can help them in the future too. So that's going to be a good thing that comes out of this. We continue to say every day, and literally every day, we just going to give ourselves a reminder that there will probably be very little short-term return for the things that we're doing. They won't be, we did something good and there'll be a ribbon cutting in 3 months or something. It's really probably the farthest thing from our mind. I think what we're thinking is how do we add value and how do we build trust? So do what's valuable to our communities right now and to our companies. And from a week to week, that might be different. Pretty soon it'll be how to help them get back to business and have their workforces maybe re-enter, the community again. And we'll have to develop processes around that. To date, it's been all crisis management around federal programs and things like that. And then building trust is doing the things, whether they're personal or professional, to help. In some cases, provide advice and counsel, and other times, almost just lend an ear and be a source of comfort or convene groups so that they can actually know that they're not the only ones going through this crisis. And we all know that we're going through this together. That each individual and each company, has a view of that from their seat. And they're thinking, our situation is pretty unique, to give them comfort and to connect them with people that are doing the same thing, that may have done something to get around an issue, is a source of great pride on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that is awesome. And I love how you said, really focusing on adding value and building trust right now, because although we may not have like big ribbon cuttings, big announcements coming in the next couple months, I think that reestablishing that solid framework of trust will pay off in the long run for communities. Thinking about economic developers, because I know you're also the president of the IEDC, chairman of the IEDC right now. How do you feel like economic developers are doing, and what are some of the needs that you've heard circulating amongst economic developers who certainly are kind of on the front lines of all of this, even though they're not in the healthcare industry or, dealing with the virus necessarily from a health perspective on the front line? The domino effect of what's happened to businesses has just rapidly shifted so quickly. And I hear so many economic developers that are carrying the feel like they're carrying the burden for their community to keep things stable. You know, hearing a lot of just heart-wrenching, you know, gut-wrenching stories, having to make decisions, trying to process information that keeps changing rapidly and get that out. What are some of the needs that you keep hearing circulate amongst the economic development community right now?
It's a very interesting crisis. So as you know, I'm just a big advocate for our profession and the people within it. You know, I think that the people in this profession are very giving people, put their heart and soul into, you know, each aspect of this, whether they're working as a workforce development professional, helping prepare the workforce of the future, doing community or neighborhood development on a main street, in a small town or a urban environment, or they're working on the economic base and working with largest industries and manufacturers, things like that. They put their heart and soul into it. And this crisis is unique in that for the economic developer, it's personal. We're all at home as well, sometimes with kids running around the house and homeschooling, all kinds of things that are going on right now. And that's adding a little stress. We're likely talking to lots of our friends, neighbors, business associates that are having a really tough time. And the majority of those conversations are negative. People, you know, that had a good business 6 weeks ago are out of business today, or out of business in the short term. And that's a difficult thing to digest. And then the third part of this is we've got to maintain our organizations. If you believe, like I do, that economic developers are going to be the tip of the spear in terms of helping us get back to stabilization of our economy, we're going to need their professional expertise, experience, and their spirit to lift up our communities and to get us back on stable ground. And they're making organizational cuts. Some are making extraordinarily difficult decisions about the employees of those organizations and their budgets, and they're working with stakeholders in their organizations, public, private, academic, political, and they're just people like the rest of us. So, you know, my heart is with them, and we're going through this together. I just have to hold out this belief that we're going to be better for it, and that it will lift our profession to a level that it's never been before. I hope that's sooner than later and we get through this storm a little faster. But I suspect it's going to take a while. And then we're going to look back and say, you know, A, we were better. And perhaps the communities will realize just how important these professionals are. You know, how to do an SBA loan and how to get a company financed and how to, you know, help a manufacturer reorient their operations and work with the community officials and stuff like that. I mean, that's all things that all too often maybe we take for granted in our communities. And there's this workforce, infrastructure, and economic development helps make a lot of things work on the best of days. And it's certainly making things work in these tough times.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, what you said is so important, because we've heard a lot of economic developers that are, you know, balancing the pressure of like trying to stabilize their own organization and trying to apply for funding to stabilize their own organization. They're going through the SBA process along with the companies that they're serving, trying to get things stable and kind of carrying that pressure. And then also, you know, like you said, having neighbors that are greatly impacted either from a health perspective or they've like temporarily lost their job, the company that they just opened is closed. And I think it is so important to keep everybody, you know, to try to maintain as much spirit in economic development as we can, because I think that we will need those champions of the communities as we come out of this. And we have to make sure that we get as many whole with energy left to give, you know, when we get to wherever the finish line is. That seems like a weird word, but when things open back up, we need economic developers that are ready.
It's coming. That day's going to come.
It's coming. We don't know when, but I feel like it's like this far away.
Well, hey, you know what? I was thinking today we're one day closer to that.
That is a very good point.
Right?
I love
Every day we progress, we're one day closer. And there's going to be problems and dips. This won't be a smooth ride back, linear rise. There's going to be rough spots and waves of this, and it's going to continue to happen over the next several months. But we're probably one day healthier than we were yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any economists or anybody that you're following that you're kind of placing your trust in for right now on how we are going to weather the storm?
I think my first outreach is to practitioners themselves. We look for experts everywhere else sometimes because that's how we think. And we should. We should always want external sources of information. But I think the practitioner's view is really important right now. What are you seeing on the ground? I just sent a note out a few moments ago to a number of people I respect and asking them if, you know, they had a solution or they had a process around something. Two is I appreciate people like Richard Florida, Bob Hess, Brookings Institute, posting things and giving us their thoughts, Bloomberg, putting resources out there and giving their thoughts on how they think things should, you know, progress and things we need to think about. In some ways, we're all in the economic development game now. And whether you're a small business advocate or, you know, you're a business recruitment person or something like that, I think there's lots of different perspectives, but I appreciate the people contributing to our industry from the private sector, some of the banking leaders and their thoughts. Jamie Dimon's letter yesterday was super and referenced not only a bank perspective, but a community perspective. And I'm just kind of leaning on all of that stuff right now. And I think our best advice probably comes from our community itself. What do our mayors, city managers, county officials, business leaders need? Whether that was a restaurant owner or the leader of a major office or manufacturing facility.
Well, Kenny, thank you so much for taking time to answer so many questions and just provide your insight. I know you're really well thought of as an economic developer and have been, certainly since I started in this business, always been recognized as one of the best economic developers in the business. And I know you're extremely busy, not only in Columbus, but also trying to support all of the economic developers through the IEDC that you can. And I know taking even 20 minutes out of your schedule is a big gift to us, and we're very appreciative. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for everything.
Wow, it was really awesome to hear from Kenny McDonald and all of the things that he is championing, both on the IEDC side as well as at One Columbus. Every weekday, we are releasing interviews to help economic development professionals learn how other communities are responding to the COVID-19 impacts. America's Jobs Team is sponsored by Research on Investment and Gazelle AI.